listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Catch Them Doing Something Good edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to noon, my guest and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. My co-host today is Linda McKinney. Linda has worked in the mental health and recovery industry for over 20 years. She is currently the founder of ASNAP, which is Adolescent Special Needs and Placement. And for those that know her, know she is also the queen of her domain and everything in it. Linda, welcome to the show.
That's a tough one to follow, but thank you, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and I'm sure she didn't know that I was going to say that.
Yeah, well, knowing you, I'm not surprised.
That's true. One of the things that I would like to do, I want to touch a little bit on some current events. We had something that happened this morning, and I want to bring it to everybody's attention, so excuse me for a moment while I'm going to be actually reading. This came across this morning at about 7:15 a.m., came across over the wire that says, couple ties up teen to keep him from running away. And this is now the words of the writer. It says, here's a duo you don't want teaching a parenting class. It says, a Deltona man and his girlfriend were arrested on suspicion of tying up a teen and leaving him on the couch for hours as a form of punishment for running away. It all started after a county police officer found the child after he was reported as a runaway and returned him to the couple. I'll leave the last names out, but to Jonathan, the father, 35, and his girlfriend, Jennifer, 25, then bound the boy by tying his wrists together behind his back. Deputies said that they used zip ties, on his ankles as well, tying his ankles together and left him on the couch for hours. Another teen boy in the house cut the zip ties off at about 7:30 a.m., 5 hours after he was tied up. The boy's mother, the father's ex-wife, contacted authorities. Deputies interviewed the father and the girlfriend, who said that they tied up the teen to prevent him from running away again. And again, another quote from the writer, gosh, we wonder why the kid would want to run away from these people at all. Linda, what's your thoughts?
Well, there are quite a few running through my head right now, but the saying desperate times call for desperate measures, I don't know if that quite applies there. However, I just didn't know. I know duct tape can be used for a lot of things, but why didn't they try that instead?
I don't know. And actually, as this comes forward, we may find out that there was more. Let me read some of the comments that were from some of the people who read this. One says, please, from someone with four teens, I can assure you that sounds like a damn good idea. Really, it was only hours and on a couch, not days or anything. Ha ha. If my kids say that to me, they better hope that's all I do is tie them up. Wow.
That is a parent that is reaching out for some help. And she probably doesn't know what her options are. There are other options as opposed to having to tie your kid up to keep them in home.
Right, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're here. That's one of the reasons why we have this show, is to allow people to know that there are options. I know when I decided to do this show, one of the reasons was that there were more and more parents that I would be talking to. I would be speaking either at a school function or a variety of other types of functions, and parents would come up to me and say they had absolutely no idea that there were options, that there were parenting classes, that there were programs that their kids could go to. So by doing this show, I'm hoping that we're going to get the word out to more people so that they realize that there are options other than zip tying your child to the couch.
Exactly.
Well, now going into, I'll read some more of the comments. I don't think we have time to do all of them, but one says, zip ties are just wrong. Should have used duct tape.
Oh, there you
See?
Go. There you go.
There. I think this person knows you.
And I wasn't serious about that, folks, honestly.
Yes, but...
can I say something?
Please.
Didn't you come across a parent, a set of parents one time that had duct taped their kid to their in their motorhome?
Yes, yes. In fact, yeah, that's one of the stories that...
Oh, my
gosh. We were contacted by a program that advised us that that... they had a family that was trying to bring their child to them, and unbeknownst to them, meaning the program, they showed up with a motorhome with the child duct taped to one of the captain's chairs in the back, and they had driven literally 20 hours, you know, to get across country just to get to that program. So again, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have transport companies.
I was just going to say, no, that's a phone call away. You don't duct tape your kid to a chair to get them to a program. That's why you call transport specialists who mm-hmm. know what they're doing and
Absolutely.
Who don't have to duct tape your kid.
Now, going back to some of the comments that came in, one of the comments was, easy to say when you don't have a teenager like that. Hope the story author has a teenager that gets knocked up.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say about that. Another comment is, I have no problem with this. The author has no clue about the desperate patients. Well, it's a misspelling, but anyway, I think they mean parents. But about what desperate parents, not patients, might do when they have a teen that's out of control.
Well, you pick up the phone and you make phone calls and you start getting help, not just for yourself, but for your child, too. There's help available.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of different directions you can go versus tying your kid up.
Right. And I think we could probably just do a whole other show about people that and their comments for various things like this. Another comment is, I don't know any of the idiots on this forum who think tying a person and leaving them on a couch is punishment, but I would be happy to buy each one of them a box of condoms.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting one.
Well,
okay.
And that one was posted by Glenn. There's also a reply to Glenn that says, Glenn, don't worry. We, the taxpayers, will support your demon spawn when they're in prison. Hell, we probably support you, too.
Okay, that's a whole other show, too.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, let me read one more of the comments, and then we'll get to our guest. One, this is a longer one. It says, having had a child from hell, I will withhold my judgment until I know all the facts. When you have a bad kid, sometimes you fear for your own life. Yet, until they're 18, you can't do anything but keep them in your house. Everyone from police to schools to neighbors think it's your fault, not the kids. You know, I think, I mean, the first comment that comes to mind for me is just the term bad kid. And I think, and it's a story that I've told before, but because we fly with teenagers constantly, and we wear shirts that say our company name, and it says Transporting Teens to a Better Future. And I was seated one time next to a woman who kept looking at me, and then she said, oh, I know you. I've seen you on TV. You're that guy that transports those bad kids to programs. And I very calmly looked at her and said, excuse me, ma'am, I'm actually that guy that transports good kids who have made bad decisions. And I think I hurt her feelings because she didn't talk to me anymore. But anyway.
Well, that's the way I feel. There are no bad kids, just good kids making bad choices, bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met an awful lot of kids over the years.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, and for those that don't know, I mean, Linda has worked with kids at many different levels. She worked with us. If I say how many years, she'll probably just throw something at me. Many, many years ago.
Hey, watch it.
But has also worked with them. She's had some of them that she's brought into her home and made a huge difference, as well as working with families just to help them kind of grasp their situation. So anyway, with that said, let me now introduce our guest for today. Our guest today is Jenny Amore. Jenny is the executive director of Teen Voices, an intensive journalism, mentoring, and leadership development program for teen girls whose mission is to support and educate teen girls to amplify their voices and create social change through media. Jenny has over 25 years experience in community-based organizations for women, children, and teens. During her 6 years at Teen Voices, she has expanded the core journalism mentoring and leadership program. Now, they feature a print magazine that reaches 45,000 readers, an online magazine with nearly 200,000 page views by readers from 177 countries. Jenny is the mother of two teenage sons, Jeremy and Kyle. She holds a master's in city planning from MIT and a bachelor's of science degree in social work from New York University. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan.
Now, did you get a chance to hear a little bit about our topic? I didn't plan on going there this morning, but when I read that about the parents zip-tying the child, I just thought we needed to bring that out. Did you get a chance to hear that?
I did. And I think, you know, what is, as someone who is an advocate for teens, I think it's really important, as you said, to think about good teens who sometimes make bad decisions, but most importantly, that there is lots of resources to help both teens and parents. So, yes, it was a disturbing story.
Well, and speaking of resources, now tell us a little bit about Teen Voices in regards to how it started and how you got involved.
Thanks. Yeah, Teen Voices started in 1988, and it was really interesting by two young adult women in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who really believed in the power of girls and young women to create social change through writing and art. And in those days, there weren't many alternative types of publications that really gave girls a chance to talk or write about the issues that they care most about. So when they developed the organization in 1988, they decided to create an alternative print publication, which at that time was a black and white newspaper. And it has now evolved into a four-color print glossy magazine that's on some newsstands, as well as a monthly online magazine. And I became involved because, as a social worker, I had a background in youth work, doing work with teen girls, as well as a real interest and experience in women's leadership. So for me, it was a perfect fit to work in an organization that believes in promoting leadership of teen girls.
Wow. Well, I can tell you, and Linda, who's here, Linda has raised two girls herself. Now, one of my thoughts as you were saying that is that how are the teens, girls finding this? Or is this something that parents are finding and thinking, wow, I'd like to have my daughter get involved in this?
Sure. Many girls find us online at teenvoices.com. So girls from around the world are able to submit writing to us in that way. There are many, many adults, both healthcare professionals, teachers, guidance counselors, who love the magazine because it features a group of multiracial girls and content that's really interesting, everything from girls and gangs to college information. So a lot of adults really like to have it in their health centers, libraries, and schools. And girls, of course, love it because they can write and potentially get published, but also many girls who are isolated and alone in some of the issues they deal with can see it as a lifeline to learn about both accurate information, but also to hear about other girls' experiences.
And that's one of the things I was thinking. Now, it sounds like, I mean, is it also sort of a blog to where girls can bring particular issues that they're going through and get relatively quick or immediate feedback?
We do have a blog. We're actually about to launch a new website in April 1st. And during that time, we'll develop some more interactive process on the website. But at this time, girls can submit writing, and then we train girls in Boston to both edit and create additional content to publish girls' writing. So, but we will be doing more of that. You can find us on Twitter as well as a blog, and as we expand even more, there'll be additional resources for girls.
Jenny, I'd just like to ask you, what is your staff to freelance ratio on that? Is it more staff written, or is it more of the girls themselves writing?
Thanks for asking, Linda. It's actually the only print magazine that's alternative in the country created by and for girls. So you, as a girl, if you're 13 to 19, you can submit your writing online at teenvoices.com. Mm-hmm. It comes into our office, and then we train girls from the Boston Public Schools to be editors. They're matched with young adult women in college who are mentors, and they form a team that looks at a particular feature. So in that way, they're looking through all the health submissions and deciding about what they think would be most interesting to readers. And they actually edit individual pieces of writing and then create resources, internet resources, or do interviews with a healthcare professional. And then the publication, and then it's reviewed by an adult editor and then printed either online or in the print magazine.
Okay, so it's freelance written, but it's staff edited and resourced.
Well, the teens edit it, and it's just one final review by an adult.
Gotcha.
But it's really created by and for teen girls, which is why it's unique.
Well, yeah, gotcha. And actually, I like that because not only are they having an outlet to send this stuff in, but you also have girls that are learning this, I mean, from potentially a career.
Exactly. That's right, Alan. And we do both a lot of college exposure to facilitate next steps for girls, since many of them are here, you know, in our program, in an after-school program in high school. So, and we also do career prep as well, teaching about job readiness and so forth, and invite in journalists and prominent women in our community and men as well. And so that girls get exposure to a lot of different careers as well as support for going to college, which many of them don't have here in terms of our program, in terms of past, you know, perhaps parents haven't gone to college or the schools aren't necessarily supporting them.
Now, you mentioned the term alternative media. What do you mean mm-hmm. by that?
Well, if you pick up a mainstream magazine for girls on the newsstand or you look at one, when you look at it, it's often content that is focused on what girls are looking like, makeup tips or how to catch a boy. And instead of focusing on these, what we think of as more superficial areas, the content in our magazine is created by girls for girls so that there are, you know, articles that are really more reflective of girls' lives. Everything from, you know, information again on birth control to diabetes to, you know, love poems to dealing with what happens when you're a teen mom. And typically you don't always see those that kind of content in the mainstream magazines that are sort of, you know, driven by a lot of advertising.
Well, and I would agree, but what you're saying is also very similar to some of the programs that we work with. I mean, that Linda works with or programs that I would be taking kids to. That's a lot of their focus also. So I think there's a real good synergy here with pretty much with the audience that is listening right now, because they are people who are working with these programs and they are trying to help teens look more internally to themselves and not be so focused on what commercialism or what people out there are trying to tell them they should be.
Well, that's great to know, Alan, and I really encourage listeners to really encourage girls in their lives to write to us. And also, there's a way for programs. We give a very discounted rate of only $100 to get 50 copies of the magazine twice a year, print magazine, so a lot of the young people can get it themselves. There are ways for people in programs, if you want to get the resource in hand, so that the teen girls in your programs can actually see it, feel it, and then respond to it. A lot of adults use it to generate discussion.
Right.
You can call our office at 888-882-TEEN, and we can connect you with, you know, getting some resources for your program. So that's great.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I think that would be excellent, and I think most of the programs would love that idea in the sense that, you know, that they want them to have, you know, to have things to read. They want them to have outlets in how to mm-hmm. be able to write and the concept that they can help them get published and know that they're providing them something that's giving them positive feedback. So, I mean, I just see it as a huge win-win situation.
Thanks, Alan. Well, I think it's really great. One of the unique things I think also about Teen Voices is it's very education-focused and proactive in really helping to tap into girls' strengths and resilience, even in the midst of hard times or difficult family situations. I think a lot of girls get inspired by reading about stories from teens around the world, and so it also promotes cross-cultural learning and, and having accurate information, too.
All right.
Jenny, I'm just curious, how many publications did you say per year?
So we have two print publications in the fall and the spring.
Fall and spring,
in October,
okay.
And issue and an April issue, and then we have monthly online.
Right.
So girls can get that, or young men who, also young men who want to learn about what girls are really thinking about, too. I always say, because I have two teen boys, that it's really important for young men to hear about what girls are really thinking.
Yeah. In fact, that reminded me of a guy that told me that he was buying various women's magazines, and he was reading them. And I was, well, what are you doing this for? And he said, it's sort of like getting a look at their playbook,
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can see the young boys. I think that would be great if they would go to something like that, and they might learn more about what the girls are really thinking internally, and not focusing so much on the magazines that are, more or less focusing on the external.
Right, right. Yes, and I think the other thing that's exciting about Teen Voices is we're going to have a launch of a completely new look in terms of logo and content April 1st, as well as the redesigned website. So there's a lot of new things happening at Teen Voices in the next month or two, and so it's a great time for both adults and teens to connect.
Now, is that going to be the same website, or is that a different website? And if it's different, can you give us that one as well?
Yeah, it will be the same. So it's www.teenvoices.com. And, I think, you sort of pitched this, Alan, as your question, but, so the things that listeners can do is get girls in their lives to write to us.
Mm-hmm.
Also encourage teens they know to read the magazine. And lastly, to take action. There's lots of letter writing campaigns and other kinds of things, groups, both locally and globally, that the teen girls write about, so girls and communities can join one of those groups and become more of a leader, both locally and internationally even.
Okay, so what you're saying is that, they can create social change, and they can choose the group that touches them in their heart. Now, give us some examples of some of the groups that they can join.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are so many, and I will tell you what happens on the online magazine, and this is why I encourage people to, connect with us. We have an activist of the month, and so we highlight a teen girl in very different sort of countries who are working on issues, usually, within their own communities, and it varies in terms of what, what a girl's particular interest would be as to what they would like to actually, connect to. So it's hard to name just one, because there's lots and lots. And if you go to our website, it's really beautifully designed, I think, even though we're going to launch an even friendlier and more information soon, for girls.
Right.
But I think if you just trying to think, there's everything from, let's see, volunteering to work around child abuse issues, to working on issues around Haiti to support Haiti right now, all different kinds of issues. And girls and adults can just go right onto the website and look at Activists of the Month for a quick glance of a whole bunch of different organizations you can get connected to.
So that's great. So whatever it is, if they want to save the earth, if they want to save animals, if they, whatever it is, there's probably going to be something there that's close to their heart. They can just go to it and get involved. Now, is this another way in which girls are able to to meet and hear from other girls from all over the world. So in other words, if somebody is interested in a culture, you have somebody maybe who's originally, you know, from another culture, they're being raised in America, mm-hmm. but they're interested in that. They're able to kind of go on and learn more about that, or possibly even set up situations where they would meet someone. Is there something like that?
Yeah, well, we're a little bit careful about sort of the exchange of information now between teens, because we're careful about what we post to make sure it's respectful and of girls in general. But I will say that absolutely, girls can learn a lot about girls from other countries. It's definitely a place to go, and that's kind of unusual in a way to really hear from girls directly about their experiences. So.
Right. Yeah. And what I was thinking, not so much that they would necessarily be talking directly, but it would be that they would post a question. And you had someone that said, I'm from a particular place, or I'm very interested in a particular place. Someone else can pick that up and then mm-hmm. provide an answer for it, or talk about it. Does that sound about right?
Right. That's a great idea, Alan. We'll have to incorporate that into our new website.
There we go. Hey, look, I'm consulting already.
That's right. We'll be calling on you again.
So give us some examples of what the teens say about the program. I mean, just, in their words, because we're all adults here talking about this, but what are some of the things that the teens say so that if there are other teens that hear this, they can go, wow, I can relate to that?
Great. I'd love to share some words from our teen editors here in Boston. So Agustina shared with me that because of Teen Voices, I've become more confident in myself. I got over my fear of public speaking. I gained the ability to trust again. I built friendships here that I never imagined of. Teen Voices really changed my life for the better.
Nice.
Another teen editor talks about, again, Teen Voices as a lifeline. I felt isolated, and now I feel connected to girls around the world. Jocelyn says, Teen Voices gave me a voice through writing. It gave me a place where I can go and be free and share my experiences so other girls don't have to go through the same thing I did. It made me become more involved and aware of what's around me and eventually become a future leader in my community.
Impressive.
And let's see, one last one. Johanna said, the impact Teen Voices had on me was making sure I always have a voice and making sure I exceed the expectations society has for females. Before, I was the girl who just sat back and listened to what others said. Now I feel like I'm more outspoken and put in my voice no matter what. So I think there's a lot of energy and great strength in the girls that are connected to Teen Voices.
Wow, and what I like is it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of positive energy. That, I think, mm-hmm. is the key. In this day and age in which we get a lot of negative energy that is mm-hmm. put out either in the news or whatever, the positive energy is what I hear and what mm-hmm. what I'm drawn to. Go ahead, Linda, you got a question?
I did. Is there any subject that's taboo that you won't discuss? I know you don't want them describing, negative things, but, I mean, is there anything that you're not comfortable with the girls discussing?
Not really, Linda. We really discuss everything, both in the program and in the magazine. Now, there are times, for example, we did just publish an article about girls and gangs, and it's a former gang member that speaks out. So sometimes we'll publish someone anonymously. So girls who are in situations where where they may not want to share their name for a particular reason, mm-hmm. They can write about an experience and still share it with others. That's true also for some girls from Afghanistan who felt by speaking out they might put themselves not feel as safe. So again, we published anonymously. So girls have that option, or to print just their first name. Otherwise, girls need parents' permission if they're under 18 to be published. But no, Linda, we really think all issues should be out there. There's no question that or topic that we think is taboo.
Thank you.
Wow, that is great. You know what? I want to take a quick break. But when we come back, I know we focused a lot on the online stuff. When we come back, can you tell us a little more about the hands-on stuff that you're doing with the girls?
Absolutely.
Founded over 25 years ago. to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back, and before we talk a little bit about the program, I know Linda has another question for Jenny. Go ahead.
Jenny, as Ellen has said, I'm the mom of two girls, and I was actually blessed to help raise a bonus daughter and a bonus son, but we were predominantly a sorority house, and it makes me wonder, you with two teenage boys, what made you focus on girls here? Why not take what you're living and focus on boys here, teenage boys?
Well, you know, Linda, it's an interesting question in the sense that there are some people who come to me and talk about wanting to have a magazine for young men or boys. And I say, what a great idea. I encourage you to do that. And I think it would be really interesting for others to think about, you know, ways to provide alternative kinds of content for young men. So not just about sports or, you know, various things, but alternatives to that. But this organization was founded, you know, specifically to create an environment for girls to feel safe, to share issues, and to create a magazine, you know, again, at that time where there really was nothing available. So that's, you know, when I got hired, that's the organization that we have. And I think it always reminds me, and I actually believe that for teens and children, it's really important for children and teens to have different kinds of experiences, whether they're going to an after-school program and maybe doing, you know, sports, but that there are also programs that might support, you know, their interest in writing or a girls program. I think it's important for teens to have a mix of experiences, and this offers girls from Boston, when they come into the program, a unique one. Many girls come here really unsure about what it will be like to be with an all-girls group and are very hesitant. But what they find is that with the amazing staff that are here at Teen Voices, that we create a place where girls can talk openly about issues and concerns that they have that they might not be able to do in a mixed-gender group or in their schools. And they become very close with one another and understand that they are not alone, that some of the issues, and I understand from the nature of your program and sort of here, Alan, that you're connecting, you know, to a lot of teens who are in need of support, and that often is the case at Teen Voices. Girls can come to this program dealing with everything from sexual abuse to health issues, from seeing violence in their own neighborhoods. Most of the girls that are in our program here are primarily girls of color from low-income communities in the Boston public schools. And so it's a unique environment. And what we believe is that if we give girls specific skills like editing, writing, interviewing, technology, leadership skills, if you combine that with critical thinking, mm-hmm. social justice education, you create confident and competent girls. At the age where girls are questioning sometimes who they are, skills and critical thinking make that powerful combination that make girls feel empowered to deal with issues in their own lives and communities, but also to figure out who they are and what they want to become. So we offer a very individualized experience. Two girls and one college mentor create a mentoring team, but then we also have once a week discussion groups on everything from HIV to college to other issues, suicide, issues that girls are dealing with. So we provide an individualized experience twice a week with their mentor, but then a large group experience where we bring in experts and peers who are doing work on everything, again, from becoming more knowledgeable about drugs and alcohol to learning about careers and exploring thoughts about what they want to become. So we think it's unique because we're really, again, fostering leadership in girls through an intergenerational network of women and men who care very much about supporting teens in this day and age.
Wow. I mean, I just think that's incredible. And for anybody that's heard the show before, they know that I'm a sucker for success stories. Can you share a couple of success stories with us so that everybody can get a real picture? Because what I'm seeing is that, you know, you are really helping prepare some of the leaders of tomorrow.
Oh, well, thanks. I really appreciate that. And what I can say, Alan, is that we have lots of success stories. We have many girls who go on to college, and we think that given a lot of the sort of the financial constraints that many girls face is very successful. So we've had over the last 5 years, 100% of our seniors have gone on, who have graduated from high school, have gone on to college.
100%.
Wait.
Yes.
Back up. Say that again.
100%.
100% of the seniors in our program, and we do have smaller numbers in our program, but we do very intensive work, are going on to college.
That's
college
great.
Options. And that's very significant because I think in the school system right now, it's about half that rate of graduation and going on to college. So, if you ask me another question, I'll return with this. I'm going to have someone bring in some very specific examples so I can share, because I think what's inspiring to me is when you do hear an individual story of a girl who has really come from a very tough family situation, but excels not only in this program and comes from being a very shy girl sometimes to being a leader in her community, that's an amazing story. So many of our peer leaders, I should add another part of this, is once a girl has an experience of being a teen editor in either the fall or the spring program, they can apply to become a peer leader. And in that process, they actually get paid as a part-time staff person. And they also help to design and create programs for the teen editors. And so I'm going to read you, though, a specific one. This is from Sasha Smith, who was a former teen editor. I attend Emerson College and plan to graduate in 2011 with a BA in English focusing on journalism. I worked for the writing studio at my previous university, allowing me to help other students improve their writing, and last semester I received the Dean's List Award at BSC for my academic performance. I feel that Voices has improved my strengths in writing and journalism and has given me the tools to succeed in my future career. Do we have time for one more?
Oh, sure.
Elise Bigger, former teen editor and intern and mentor, says, I'm a sophomore at Bates College, majoring in sociology and minoring in Spanish. I work with an organization called Volunteer Lawyers Project, helping low-income families receive pro bono help from lawyers. Although I now live in Maine, Boston is my home, and I will always be trying to change it for the better. Last year, I met with Irvin Scott, the academic superintendent of Boston Public Schools, to talk about the lack of responsibility at my former high school. Teen Voices has taught me to seize the opportunities around me to help make the world into a better place. The last one I'll give is Lauren Anderson, a former teen editor and peer leader. I'm a student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, where I have a double major in journalism and English. In my first college semester, I took a class called Introduction to Women's Studies. In this class, we often discuss the effects the media has on women and girls. To be honest, after working at Teen Voices, I felt like an expert on the topic. I like that. I was able to share my experiences with my professor and fellow students. I am forever grateful for what Teen Voices has done for me, and I will never forget the remarkable skills and life lessons that were gained within the walls of Teen Voices.
Wow, that's beautiful.
That has to feel good. Hey, I had a couple of questions for you, Jenny.
Sure.
What about the funding? Who pays for this program for these girls?
Well, that's a good question, Linda. And I will say we get funding from some great foundations here in Boston.
Okay.
And a significant portion comes from teens and adults who join it and become members. So, as is often the case with things that aren't supported by large advertising and so forth and so on, and it's an alternative, we rely on members, adults and girls, to join and become part of the intergenerational network of Teen Voices. And I think ultimately, given the economy and everything else, it's going to be women and girls who really keep Teen Voices going because it matters most for them. And also men who are allies and supporters are really essential because we rely on members to really support the organization. And I'll just give the number another time in case people want to call and get more membership information, but it's 888-882-TEEN. So that's how we do it, Linda, and there's a little bit of money we get from advertising, and we also have a special event that we do once a year, but it's primarily foundation grants and memberships.
So is that alumni, a lot of alumni donations?
We do get alumni donations, and we also get a lot of women sort of my age. I'm 50, so sort of in the 50 and above, women who wish they had a magazine like this for themselves. We didn't. And so a lot of women really believe in the power of this print magazine and online because it was a resource that never was around years ago. So a lot of, and also a lot of healthcare professionals. We get about a third of our memberships are institutions like schools, libraries, mental health facilities, who join and get the magazine for their programs.
Okay, and now is this program? I'm sure you're going to get into this, but how many girls can you have in the program at any one time?
Well, we have about 30 girls at any one session here in our Boston offices, but simultaneously we have about 1,600 submissions coming in throughout the year from girls around the world, and then you heard about we have 45,000 readers, and then we have a growing online community that is now touching 177 countries. So we often say that our local program has an international impact, which is very satisfying because we're a very small organization.
Mm-hmm.
We also, I should add too, we have an amazing board of directors, dedicated board with a breadth of skills and true leadership in an organization, and that helps tremendously, both mentor all of us as staff, but also to reach out to many more networks that they have. And that's truly a gift in a nonprofit, is to have board leadership, both our board of directors and our national advisory board. So we rely on a lot of volunteers to really help support the organization because we couldn't do it all with the money that we have in our budget.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for answering that.
That's great.
Oh, sure.
Now, and one of the things that I caught out of that was the fact that they're being taught to give back. I mean, every one of those examples mm-hmm. that you gave was somebody who is focused on the fact that part of their success now is their program, you know, what they're doing that's giving back to the community or giving back to the organization or to other teens.
Mm-hmm.
I just think
yes.
that's phenomenal. I think that's one of the best things that we can do. I think it's one of the areas that we fall short in our public school system, is not teaching how important it is to give back on a large scale. So I think that's mm-hmm. phenomenal, and I just can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you are doing that. It's incredible.
Well, thanks, Alan. And I think, you know, I think it really takes all of us in many different, both whether it's, you know, as a host of a radio show or working directly in or being, you know, it takes just a network of adults, I think, to really support young people. And I always feel like at Teen Voices, I learn as much from the girls as I believe that our staff is giving them, because to really hear about the issues of this generation and coming up, what's really going on for them, I think it's a gift to us to hear both the struggles they have, but to always see the amazing resilience and strength in the midst of those struggles that really brings the powerful voices to light in both our print and online magazine.
I have a question for you, and it's a loaded one. I have parents and people asking me the same question all the time. What would you consider is the main problem with teenagers today?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yes,
I actually would say, Linda, that it's the problem, I think, is that, you know, that as adults, we also have to provide more opportunities for young people. I think a lot of young people don't have after-school programs to go to, don't necessarily have schools or teachers that believe in them, and sometimes, unfortunately, don't have parents or guardians who do. So in my view, it's really a question of, as adults, how do we provide more interesting, enlightening educational experiences for teens both after school, and there's a lot of research showing that actually the achievement gap is due to the lack of summer learning opportunities. So I think it's really about adults listening to teens, taking direction from teens about what most interests them, finding and providing meaningful employment, especially for older teens, is a critical part of how young people feel successful in the world. And of course, educational opportunities after high school, ensuring that teens can go on. So, Linda, that's my response, is that it's about all of us as adults getting the support we need, whether it's as a parent or as a youth worker, to do the best job that we can to deal with the ups and downs that we encounter when we're working with teens.
That's actually pretty much the answer I give people.
Wow.
Oh, really? We're in alignment, yes.
Exactly, parents and adults.
Right, mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, and we're just about out of time, but I do want to have you again, tell them again, what is the website that they can go to?
Thanks, Alan and Linda. And the website is www.teenvoices.com. And our telephone number, if you want to reach us that way, is 888-882-TEEN.
Great. And I love the thing that you brought up in regards to the programs out there, being able to set it up to where they're getting your publication there for the kids to be able to read.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see this. I mean, has there been any attempt at getting this into the public school system?
Well, you know, Alan, every idea you bring up, I'm thinking we're right on the same wavelength, because we are, you know, we have a very limited budget, but that's one of our intentions, is to see how we can really make this resource available across at least the country in public schools. And so oftentimes people will underwrite, like, for example, having us send magazines to environmental organizations to distribute to teens. But if there is someone listening who would really like to support that effort, because I think you're exactly right, need to make more bridges with the public schools, with English teachers, guidance counselors who use this resource to be able to spread it, so that my goal is that every teen girl would get a copy of Teen Voices magazine and write for us in the future, because we want to hear all different perspectives and also have girls read, you know, about each other and about the issues that matter to them.
Right, and especially, again, in the public school system, because when we talked about it earlier, a lot of the programs that we work with, I mean, I think they're going to look at it as a no-brainer, I mean, because there's a great synergy with that. But that's getting to the same girls that are already kind of getting that in their new school. Getting it to the ones in the public school system, I think, is going to be where a huge difference is going to be made, if that can be done. So, yes, if there's anybody out there that knows how to make that happen, hey, part of this show is about making connections. Let's make that connection, and let's make it happen.
Well, that's great. And I know already there are some English teachers and guidance counselors who are members and are having this resource in their classrooms and in their after-school programs. And we want to just say a big thank you to those who are already connected.
Well, good. I'm glad. Well, Jenny, again, thank you so much for coming on. I think you've added some great information to a lot of the people that we have out there. I hope that they grab it. Again, get in touch with Jenny if you can help to make this work. Jenny, keep up the good work. Have a great week. And again, I'm so thankful you were able to spend the time with us.
Thank you so much, Linda and Alan. I really appreciate the conversation, and best to both of you.
Thank you, Jenny.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was great. Linda, your thoughts?
I just want to know how we can set something up like that here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my mind's just going crazy. I'm thinking of all the all-girls schools that really should be involved in this.
Mm-hmm. And again, so anybody, if you were driving and you didn't get the opportunity to write down, it was www.teenvoices.com. But again, if you're driving, you still can't write that down. You know ours, which is www.answers4thefamily.com. And please, also, while you're going to that, go to our blog. We want your opinions. We want your comments. We want your suggestions. And you can also go there to listen to any of the past shows. So, again, I'm seeing how we're doing on time. We're actually right on time. Linda, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Alan. You know that.
All right. And everyone, remember, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. We're out of here.
Bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.